Good morning. It is time to skip the BS. It is time for Undisputed. It is time for you to let us know what you're thinking at hashtag Undisputed Live. Today, I welcome back Keyshawn Johnson, now the third most famous Jet ever behind Aaron Rodgers and Joe Namath. Is that fair?
maybe. There's a couple more probably more famous than me, Skip.
I don't think so. You're the first overall pick in the draft. And today, for the first time, I welcome in Emmanuel Acho of Speak fame out of Dallas and the University of Texas. But I promise not to hold that against him, even though I am an Oklahoma Sooners fan. And I say unhook them horns today.
Oh, don't do that to me, Skip. Not yet. Don't do that to me.
Can I do the...
Okay. I did that, and they got mad at me.
They got mad.
VY got mad at me one day. He wouldn't even talk to me. I'm like, seriously?
It's a 15-yard fine. I don't know what it is on this set, but it's a 15-yard.
It's not... Come on.
Come on, man.
It's not that deep.
All right. Here we go. Aaron Rodgers is in the middle of yet another controversy. This one captured by Hard Knocks. It started when Aaron's best friend on the Jets, who came with him from Green Bay, Randall Cobb, a highly respected receiver in his 13th season, lost his mind in last Saturday's preseason game and threw an illegal block on Giants safety Bobby McCain, which unfortunately sent McCain into concussion protocol. Aaron jokingly scolded Cobb in the huddle, which made other Jets laugh, which incensed the Giants, or so said the Giants' Jihad Ward, who responded by giving Aaron a little shove well after a pass had left his hand. So here's what was shown on Hard Knocks.
Drops back, flips it left, wide open left flat. And getting loose is Conklin with a flag down.
Randall Cobb's going to get for a blindsided hit. He's going to hit a defender. Defender's just turning to chase.
F***ing Cobb, just lost all f***ing training camp money. What are you doing, bro? This ain't 2014.
I forgot. I blacked out. I blacked out, all right? I ain't been able to hit nobody in a while.
F***ing shield him off, bro. I saw that in slow motion. I'm like, no.
Bootleg out to the left, flipping it left. McCole Hardman.
Bro, what the is that? F***ing respect, bro. Come on, what the is that? Five f***ing six? I don't even know who you are, bro.
I don't know who
you are. You don't? I never heard of you.
Jihad Ward says the way Hard Knocks portrayed all this made him look like a quote-unquote sucker. So, Keyshawn, who was in the right and who was in the wrong here?
Well, go back to the hit. Randall Cobb was completely in the wrong. Okay, my entire career, I probably was known as the best blocking wide receiver you ever saw. I would never do that.
I don't remember exactly that.
No, totally. All you got to do is poll the 32 head coaches and general managers across the league, Skip.
Okay, but...
I would never do that. It was completely illegal. All Cobb had to do was flash in front of the dude to slow him down.
Well, he says, you can hear him in the hall, I blacked out. I blacked out.
Great, that's fine. You can hurt somebody. What? They're not paying attention. Yeah. They're running, whiplash, anything. Okay, let's move on from that.
Okay, and by the way, it's a game that doesn't count, but go ahead.
Go ahead. Yeah. So now you move on from there, and you talk about simply the Ward incident. You say, well, who's wrong there? Well, Aaron Rodgers, first of all, man, he barely touched you. Mm-hmm. Now you're saying to him, you want confrontation with him, show some respect. Oh, so now you're the league. You're the shield. Mm-hmm. Show respect. What are you talking about? Show respect. He barely touched you. So Aaron Rodgers is completely in the wrong, and I get it. Trash talk was one of my favorite things when I played. Mm-hmm. You can go back and forward. You can tell a dude, Google me. You can tell a dude what type of shoes you wear. You can say all those sort of things. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But then when you say show some respect, it's like, all right, man, whatever, at the end of the day. So I think Cobb is wrong. And Aaron Rodgers is wrong for coming at him like that.
Okay, by the way, real quick, how effective was it as a put down to say, I don't even know who you are, bro?
Oh, it's a good put down.
Okay. Okay.
I've used that many times on dudes.
Have you?
You don't even want to know some of the stuff I said, Skip. You don't even want to know. But it's all in good nature, as Acho would tell you.
No doubt about it. I would say that Cobb is in the wrong. Key, you're exactly right. Cobb is in the wrong. Aaron Rodgers is an accomplice. He's an accomplice, so he's in the wrong, too.
Because?
Because, one, Cobb is Rodgers' homeboy. The only reason Cobb is on the New York Jets, as we all know and can all agree, and even Cobb will tell you, is because of Aaron Rodgers. So if the friend of my enemy, yo, he got to be my enemy too.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So Cobb, Jahad Ward, Skip, they got beef at this point in time. Mm-hmm. Now, Rodgers, you and Cobb are like this. I'm mad at you too. But furthermore, and I think, Skip, you alluded to this, y'all are in the huddle laughing about a hit in the preseason. A hit in the preseason that Cobb knows he can't make if he's looking him eye to eye. You know Cobb. I know Cobb. Cobb came out one year before me. Cobb might be about 5'10", maybe 200, 205 pounds. He can't make that block legally. Only way he can make that kind of block is illegally. And so my thing is, like, Cobb, like Keith said, flash in front of him. Get the job done without it being cheap, because you knock somebody down, cheap hit, then y'all all go into the huddle laughing about it. What nobody's telling enough people is, when you play in that last preseason game, Ward, 9-year vet, I had to play in the last preseason game as a linebacker trying to make the team. You take on the role of being the guy, being the leader, being the Hall of Famer, if you will, even if you've been a fringe NFL player floated across a lot of teams. So Ward is on a squad, Skip, with three other rookie starters. Isaiah Simmons, who just got traded from the Cardinals the day before, he has to let everybody know, y'all not just going to sit here and punk us on national TV.
Okay. So I'm going to start from the start with Randall Cobb. 13 years in this league. I have watched him closely. He was in Green Bay for a long time. Then he was Dallas for a stop and Texans and then back to Green Bay. Not once do I ever remember any sort of incident like this from that. He is a stalwart. He is highly respected. Family man. Again, I don't know any reputation for this, so it came completely out of nowhere for me. If you listed all the Jets receivers and said, who was most capable of throwing this kind of illegal block, he would have been last on my list. Is that fair?
I mean, it's fair.
So what happened? I don't know. He did black it. He lost his mind. Maybe he's trying to impress new teammates that I'm going to die for the cause here. I'm going to get somebody for you, trying to set an impression against a team that they have to play a real game against on October 29th. So that sets it off. Now, I'm going to defend Aaron, first of all, on one thing that he does do in the huddle, because this is his homeboy. This is the guy he brought from Green Bay. He wants to show the other Jets in the huddle that he's not above reproach here. Like, I'm going to take him to task, but I'm going to do so gently with a little humor involved here. I'm going to scold him jokingly. So he is putting Randall back in his place. He's saying, bro, what are you thinking? And then he makes jokes about, you lost some money. You know, you're going to have to repay your wife for this because you got your third kid coming. He's just making jokes that are making everybody else in the huddle chuckle. Now, whether the Giants could really see this in live action, I'm not sure about that because it's loud. I don't know. Maybe you can see body language, but I'm not sure that the whole Giants were incensed over this until maybe after they saw Hard Knocks on Tuesday night. That might, if I may, piss you off because you get to hear what's going on in the huddle.
I can see when we are standing at the line of scrimmage, I can see what's going on in everybody's huddle.
Sure.
I don't need to wait.
I don't know.
I know the reaction.
I don't
need to hear it because the play
you
just
can
happened.
See body language.
I can see body language and chuckling.
Okay.
You're not laughing because you're getting ready to score on us. Mm-hmm. You're laughing about something that just occurred.
Yeah.
And look, Aaron Rodgers, loosen everybody up. All that's fine. That's great. I just, for me, in my money, I don't like to show some respect part from Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. It's cool to talk trash. It's enough, but you are saying show respect as if you just above everybody in the National Football League.
But, Key, let me ask you this, though. Because Aaron Rodgers, in his defense, he ain't do nothing to Ward. He ain't do nothing to McCain, the cornerback that got cheap shotted by Randall Cobb.
Yeah.
So Aaron Rodgers is just going about his merry way, throwing a little boot. The ball is already out of his hand, Skip. And next thing you know, Ward is hitting him 5 yards after the play, five yards after the release.
Come on, man. Do it like that.
But if you Aaron Rodgers, it's a preseason game.
That was pretty violent, what you just did.
That might have been more aggressive than what Ward did to Rodgers. Yeah. But what are you touching me for? It is like...
But you as a defensive player, you are taking 2 to 3 to 4 steps when it's thrown. You coming with momentum. You know that.
True.
You're there.
But that was not momentum. That, truth be told, what that was I'm not getting a sack. Yeah. And I don't feel like going back to chase the ball, right, Skip. Okay. That's really what it was.
Now I'm going to call BS on Jihad Ward, because if they and he were truly incensed over this, the body language in the huddle, the chuckling, whatever, he would have said that to Aaron. You would have heard it on the Hard Knocks sound, because he would have immediately said, you guys are completely out of line. We got a guy down here who's concussed. Yeah. Well, he didn't bring it up at all. And I'm pretty sure it didn't dawn on him that he was a quote-unquote made to look like a sucker here until they all watched Hard Knocks, right?
No, absolutely. Okay. You're in the middle of a game, and things are moving so fast, you only have a split second to react to certain things.
So I don't think he was trying to get revenge for Bobby McCain on Aaron Rodgers with a
I think, Skip, you're exactly right. Yeah. Like, if you're being real, and Key, you brought it up. The thing that infuriates defensive players most is when the quarterback gets the ball out so fast
that you can't get to him.
Yeah. Jihad Ward doesn't get paid to make tackles. Gets paid to get sacks. So now Aaron Rodgers on the first drive of the game, first play, y'all remember, ball was out right now. Mm-hmm. Jihad Ward just running a 15-yard sprint. Second play, it's a boot. That's when Randall Cobb cheat-shot him. Jihad Ward gets back to the screen.
Yep.
Finally, by the second series, Skip, Jihad Ward's like, you know what? I'm not about to go make a tackle, but what I can do is go, you know, disturb Aaron Rodgers.
He touched him.
All right.
But he didn't take it. I've seen quarterbacks, and both of you have. I mean, defensive players take him to the ground, slam him on their shoulder. He didn't do that.
Okay, but what Aaron said to him was, bro, it's five steps, meaning he took five steps backward before he got touched.
Momentum. Okay?
All right.
Momentum. It's momentum.
All right, let's turn our sights now on Aaron. You know, I'm not the biggest fan. Blame deflecting diva. There's a reason he's no longer in Green Bay. There's a reason that he is now the most centered upon, the most focused upon player in the history of Hard Knocks. He is all this season's Hard Knocks. Everything we see, then they go, Aaron reaction. Yeah. He knows he's mic'd up. He knows he's the center of attention.
Yes. Yep.
So all of a sudden, he knows he's got leverage here, because the head ref is in the back. He jumps right in between him. And Aaron goes fake tough guy to me, because he's showboating. He's Grant. And he took pleasure after the game telling the media, I pushed him back. Oh, wow. I'm sure. Well, again, is he going to fight him? Seriously. I mean, is he going to call him out and meet him at the bus? No, he's not going to meet him at the bus, because what is Jihad Ward? He's like 6'5", 280 or 290. Okay. So it's all fake to me that he's playing for the cameras, that he got in his face because he knew he could get away with there's going to be no retribution.
Well, a lot of athletes in certain situations do that. You're in front of 60,000 people. People are in, you got your whole team on the sidelines. You could do certain things and know it's not going to really be a fight. Mm-hmm. You're protected because of the environment that you're in. So he's good.
Here's my issue, though, Skip, is like, if you are Ward, you have to know better as a featherweight than to pick a fight with a heavyweight.
But you're not picking a fight with him, Ocho?
Key, the second you touch Aaron Rodgers late, five steps late, you're asking for trouble.
I, as an offensive player, needed quarterbacks in my life in the worst way. I disagree, because Aaron Rodgers cannot hold himself higher than the rest of the team.
But he is higher.
No, he's not. You got a jersey on just like me. You out on the field.
His jersey in practice is what color? And everybody
it's
else.
Red.
That's my point.
But you
can't get touched.
But we're not in practice. We are in a game, whether it's preseason, regular season, postseason, or not.
But do they treat quarterbacks like they treat any other player or any other position in football? They don't.
No.
But so quarterbacks are protected.
I understand that protection. But me as a defensive player, you ain't protected with me. I'm coming to get your butt. You ain't protected with me. And it's like you said, I've been working my tail off all training camp.
True.
Trying to get to you. Now I got a chance to get to you. You let the ball go. Take two steps. It's two steps. And I touch you. You're so damn good, I can't touch you.
But what was...
You're so good, I can't touch you.
What was the point, though? What was the point?
Ocho, have you ever blitzed? Yes, you have.
Of course.
When you are right that close, you ain't never just touched the quarterback? Yes or no?
I have.
Okay.
But he wasn't that close.
Okay.
That's what I'm
saying. Okay,
he had to go out of his way.
Okay, so let me rewind and back up again.
Talk to me.
Have you ever not extended yourself to go get a quarterback, even though you wasn't
close. That is true. That
so,
is true.
But you didn't take him to the ground. And did any quarterback ever react, man, don't touch me? No, you just ain't going about their business. Not that deep.
We've seen, though, Mahomes do the exact same thing. We've seen Brady do the exact same thing. We literally saw Mahomes do it. You remember it was the Chiefs versus the Raiders. We saw it on the Netflix special of quarterback. And Max Crosby hits Mahomes late. And Mahomes is like, hey, bro, don't touch me, bro. Quarterbacks are like that.
I can't.
Quarterbacks are like that.
No, I can't live like that, man. I can't do it, Skip.
Okay, let's go bigger picture about the Jets, because I loved what Jihad Ward said yesterday when he said, okay, so that's how they roll, meaning the Jets. I think we play them soon. It's not that soon. It's October 29th. It's at Giants, quote unquote, because it's in the same stadium, but it's going to be a Giants home game. It feels like, as I watch Hard Knocks, that the Jets feel like they actually have done something, like they've accomplished something. They've accomplished nothing. They went 7-10 last year, obviously without Aaron Rodgers and Randall Cobb. And you can go down the list. They've added Dalvin Cook.
Yes.
On paper, I love them. Off paper, I do not love them, because I look at this other paper with their schedule, and the first indication of not loving them is they play the Bills on opening Monday night. They are a 2.5-point dog at home to the Bills.
They did, beat the Bills minus Aaron Rodgers a year ago.
Okay, I got you. But I'm saying the odds makers are already saying, no, no, the Bills should be favored by 2.5 at the Jets. Well, they're acting like they're the preseason Super Bowl champions. And I think that's what Jihad Ward is saying. They're setting themselves up for, as I told you yesterday, what I call a long fall, as in long autumn and long plunge. Because this schedule, they go Bills, and then they have to go to the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys are going to be really good this year. So I think they're going to lose that game. I think they'll lose their first two games. Then they get the Patriots, and that's a toss-up for me, because it's still, you love Belichick, and you know Belichick will have them ready for a division game, right? And then they got Chiefs at home. They have to go to Denver. They got the Eagles at home. Then they got that Giants game, and then the Chargers at home. I'm just telling you, if you get off on the wrong foot, you could just stay on the wrong foot with that schedule.
Yeah, the schedule's going to be tough, Skip. There's no question about it. But I think when you look at this Hard Knocks situation with them, you got to remove yourself from the stuff that goes on, because it's all camera. It's all an act.
Sure.
A lot of it is an act. Mm-hmm. And so when you are seeing clips and small pieces of it, it's going to make you think a certain way.
Agreed.
Do I believe that they think that they are already arrived and going to Super Bowl? No. This is television. Mm. That's all it is. Now, they're going to have a tough task.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about it. I think you got enough veterans in that locker room now to keep everybody kind of level-headed to understand you got week-to-week games.
Yeah.
This ain't, you're not, what did you run off, 8-9 games?
Yep.
You're not getting ready to go 9-0.
True.
It just doesn't happen in the National Football League like that very often.
Key, let me tell you why I disagree with you. There was one moment, Skip, not even on Hard Knocks, that told me the Jets are feeling themselves a little too much. They canceled mandatory minicamp. You know better than anybody, Key. It's like you only get a certain amount of time to practice with your team. And if you got a new OC, a new head coach, a new center, eventually a new running back, because your running back was still coming off injury, a second-year wide receiver.
Well, not to mention a new quarterback.
A new quarterback, which I will get to. Mm-hmm. You have all of these new players on this new team, and you are going to cancel practice because you say, oh, we've seen enough. Oh, we look good. We've seen enough.
Yeah, seen enough.
But you haven't seen enough.
It's mini camp. It's T-shirt All-Americans.
Nope.
I don't care about mini camp on a weekend where I could see a dude play Pat and go all day long at 7-on-7.
The only reason,
see that.
Key, I don't care about that if I'm the Chiefs. I don't care about that if I'm the Eagles. I might not care about that if I'm the Cowboys. I might not care about that if I'm the, you know, the Ravens.
I care
if I am the Jets.
What I learned in April, I'm going to forget in September anyway. What I learned in April, I'm going to have to revisit again
in September.
So from April to September, I'm going to forget all that information until I get the training.
But let me ask you this. They have not earned the right is an organization.
In your eyes, though.
In yours.
No, I don't care about the mini camp.
When's the last time the Jets were a competent football team? Jets haven't made the playoffs since Aaron Rodgers won the Super Bowl.
They haven't been, well, I mean.
2011.
They fight. Rex Ryan. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They fought.
They have not earned the right, in my mind, Skip, to say, you know what? I've seen enough. You ain't seen enough to seen enough.
It's the mini camp. You're not going to see anything in 2 days.
But I'm speaking of ego. I'm speaking of Skip saying, like, oh, they feel like they've already arrived.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have in their minds. It's kind of like what Tyson said. Everybody got a plan until they get punched in the mouth.
Mm.
I think the Jets have a plan. But I think week one versus the Bills, they're going to taste a little bit of blood. Then they're going to see the Cowboys, going to taste a little bit more blood. Mm-hmm. Then you got to see the Eagles, and you got to see the Chiefs. And by then, your whole nose
see,
is
I can't get on the bus with you over minicamp to think that all of a sudden, because they didn't do a 2 or 3 day minicamp, continue it, that all of a sudden they're just getting ready to disappear over the course of the season.
Does it speak to mindset at all to you?
Mm.
Does it speak to mindset?
It does not one bit, Alcho, because it's, again, it's 2 to 3 days. And they didn't cancel the entire minicamp. They canceled a practice.
Mm.
One practice.
So are you still bullish on the Jets?
I'm not bullish on them going to the Super Bowl. But certainly my eyes are open in the division about what they could be.
Mm-hmm.
They were 7-10 between Zach Wilson and Mike White.
Mm-hmm.
They were 7-10.
Mm-hmm.
They just added Aaron freaking Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
He's good for three. He's got to be. Skip, he's got to be good for three games.
By the way, do you still feel any responsibility to be pro-Jet because they...
No, absolutely. Not really.
A little bit.
I was going to say, really, the only real allegiance I have to football is University of Southern California.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay.
As far as pros go, it was a business.
Yeah.
It was a business.
Paid you a lot of money, though. They did pay you.
Right, hey, man, stay out of my pocket.
I mean, they did pay you a lot of money.
So to sum all this up, so Aaron on his ninth play of that game against the Giants throws a sweet little touchdown pass to Garrett Wilson.
God.
And he goes right after Jihad Ward, don't poke the bear.
I love it.
Screaming at him.
And then
Aaron goes and sits with the reporters after the game and says, wait until you hear it on Hard Knocks. It's good content. They're acting. I mean, it's just all a big act, okay?
He understands.
He's the ultimate actor to me. But listen, the Hard Knocks don't start until that Monday night. That's Hard Knocks.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Look at that. Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
He never saw it coming either.
Yeah.
Bam, give me that.
Okay, he's the most spectacular thrower of the football since Dan Marino. I'll give you that. He's hip, he's flip, he's all that. I got you. He's highly entertaining until you get to playoff games when he gags. It's as simple as that. Well, he has. Routinely.
I don't agree. Yeah. I don't agree. That's a whole other conversation,
he
Skip.
He has.
No, I get you. He had 7-9, I guess, in his last.
Since the Super Bowl.
Since the Super Bowl. I get it.
And the Super Bowl was like
he hasn't won.
Like
he hasn't performed at the level. That's true, but let's not hold that against him.
All right, that's enough of Aaron Rodgers because I've had enough of him. But up next, here we go. Is Dak Prescott good enough to lead the Cowboys to the Super Bowl? He better be. No mercy, no mercy, no
mercy. Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. We are bringing you the best college football analysis every week. Any questions? Then send them into the Joel Klatt Show mailbag. Follow the Joel Klatt Show on the Fox Sports app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, as a Cowboy fan, I am sick and tired of talking about Dak Prescott. Yet I can't stop thinking about Dak Prescott because he's my quarterback. Sometimes he plays like a fourth round pick that he was. Other times he plays like he was the fourth pick in the draft. Mr. Acho.
Yes, sir.
You grew up in Dallas, Texas. Exactly who and what and how good is Dak Prescott?
Skip, I was working in the Star when Dak Prescott got drafted. I was actually working for the Cowboys in media 2016, 2017. Yeah. I was there the first 2 years. Dak Prescott is exactly as good as he's shown us all to be. He's good enough to throw for 4 touchdowns in a playoff game and beat the Bucs, but then he's just good enough to lay that same egg versus the San Francisco 49ers. In my mind, Key, Dak Prescott is not as bad as people make him out to be, and he's not as great as people make him out to be.
Yep.
So how good is he? He's good enough to get an MVP vote. How good is he? He's good enough to win the division. How good is he? He's good enough to have the best team in the NFC, but I don't think Dak Prescott is good enough to be the reason the Cowboys win a Super Bowl, no.
Mm.
I think Dak Prescott can be a very good driver, but he's going to have to be a passenger in a Super Bowl game. And it comes down to this, and Skip, you've covered the league long enough to know. Think about the worst quarterbacks in the last 15 years to win Super Bowls. You could say Joe Flacco. but he had an 11 touchdown, zero interception run.
Hey, Joe Flacco in the postseason was Joe Montana.
Exactly right. Exactly right. You could say Nick Foles, my former roommate Nick Foles, 6 touchdowns, 1 interception en route to winning a Super Bowl. You could say Eli Manning, over his 2 Super Bowl runs, 15 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. I would simply ask, can Dak do that? I don't think so. Mm. I don't think Dak Prescott can have a 6 touchdown, 1 interception run. Skip, I don't think Dak Prescott can have an 11 touchdown, no interception run.
There was Jim McMahon going back to the day in Chicago. They won with him with maybe the greatest defense ever.
Correct. You could bring up guys like Trent Dilfer, et cetera.
2002 Bucs, the Ravens.
Hey, watch out. Leave my quarterback Brad alone.
But he was just decent.
Correct.
He was pretty good.
Most quarterbacks that have won Super Bowls, most.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about the Joe Montanas of the world. They all have pedestrian Super Bowls. They most of them do when you look at the stat lines.
Except for Brady and Montana.
You know, yeah. But even when Brady had 400 plus yards throwing and doing, he lost. So it's a certain way you win come postseason.
Mm.
Do I think Dak Prescott has the ability to help the Cowboys win a Super Bowl in the right situation, in the right team, in the right circumstances? 100%. But he's got to get help from everybody. This ain't just about Dak. We make it about Dak a lot. For whatever reason, he's a quarterback of the star. Everybody's watching him. We have these conversations literally every single day.
Mm-hmm.
You say to yourself, is he a top 10 quarterback? He's probably right there, 8, 9. Because
I don't think there's nine. Debating, is he 12, 11?
No, but there's not 9 quarterbacks better than Dak Prescott when you think about it. There's not.
I could find him.
You can go Patrick Mahomes.
Sir.
You can go
Joe Burrow.
Aaron Rodgers, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert. Who else?
You done?
Who am I me?
I'll go Trevor Lawrence. I go Deshaun Watson.
There's 2 people. Trevor Lawrence you saw last year, and he's like, okay, cool.
Fair.
Cool. Right? You like the hair, and he's a family guy, and he stands in the pocket tall. You like that. That looks good to you. And then Deshaun, we saw him 3 years ago. Really good, but we don't know what it is now.
Okay, fair.
So that's my whole point.
Fair.
You erase those 2 out the equation. Kirk Cousins? No, you wouldn't take Kirk Cousins over
Agreed.
No damn Dak Prescott.
Yep.
So when you start to think about it, you can go Carr, they're probably the same. I think he has the ability to take the Cowboys far. He's got to cut down on the turnovers. You talk about the San Francisco 49er game. I continue to keep saying this. When you look at the tape, the interception to the Amador Lenore who jumped the out route.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't step into the throw.
Sure.
Nick Bosa sitting in his lap.
Don't do this, Key. Don't make excuses for him.
I'm not making excuses. I'm giving facts.
Throw it away.
He can't. Again, I'll explain to you like I explained to everybody else. When you are a quarterback and you go to pull the trigger, it's very hard to pull it back when it's already gone. It's hard.
Lenore had a jump on that off the...
No. Yeah. I'm
but
telling
thing,
you.
That's just one interception.
No,
that's just one.
That's one.
There was a couple of them.
Okay.
There was
so,
a couple of them.
Keith, I got
to
tell you.
I swear, man, the CeeDee Lamb interception. CeeDee Lamb tricked the quarterback. You cannot trick the quarterback, but you blame the quarterback. He's got to do a better job. The Green Bay game, he throws the interception across the middle. 2 receivers can't be stacked on each other.
I agree with that.
So I discount, and you'll learn to discount. Wait, hold on. You guys will learn to discount interceptions to quarterbacks. I don't protect quarterbacks, but you'll learn to discount them because so many things happen when they throw the football. Tip balls, they get the credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
Bad route, interception, they get the credit for that. And we look at the stat line, and you say, well, Key, he threw 17 INTs. Well, cut that down, man. It's not really 17 because it ain't all his fault.
Mm.
I'm just being.
But you can't do that. There's no.
Oh, you absolutely.
No
you no,
the
absolutely
film, the film can do that.
No, you
the
absolutely
film can do that. But I can't do that. Skip can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that.
No, I can do that. And the reason I can do it because I know what I'm seeing and I'm watching. And you do, too. But you refuse to do that.
Mm.
You refuse to do it because you have now fell into the thing of pile it on. That's what you have done.
I look at it like this, and it's very simple for me. Skip, I don't think that Dak Prescott is a great eraser. I think quarterbacks that are great have to be erasers. It's like, man, our defense just gave up a 90-yard 8-play drive, a 90-yard 12-play drive. Dak, go fix it.
Yep.
Remember Patrick Mahomes versus the Buffalo Bills. Go fix
it. But nobody is confusing him with Patrick Mahomes.
Yep. Of course. But can you be Nick Foles in the playoffs? Can you be Joe Flacco in the playoffs? Can you be Matthew Stafford in the playoffs? That's all you necessarily need. I don't need him to be Pat or Brady.
He probably, Skip.
Yeah.
He probably could. Mm. We will have to wait and see.
We've seen for 7 years.
I have seen enough. I have tried and tried and tried some more to love this man. I loved him from the start. But I look back now and I think maybe Zeke had more to do with it than I gave Zeke credit for. I'm talking about going all the way back to 2016 when they ran off with the whole NFC and went 13-3 and mm-hmm. then lost to Aaron, of course, at Dallas in the shootout game. Dak played great in that game. But in the biggest picture, I believe he's just good enough to leave us frustrated as Cowboy fans. I believe he's just good enough to keep his job because he's fringy top 10. You could make 8 case, 9 case, whatever case. And it's just good enough. We say, well, you know, yeah, we got to go on. Give him another contract and give me another heartache because this guy is the ultimate. I thought Romo was a Romo coaster ride, roller coaster ride. This guy's even what I used to call roller coaster rides because I don't do well on roller coasters. It's a vomit ride. And this guy is the ultimate vomit ride for me because, to your point, he goes to Tampa in that first playoff game, and he plays the game of his life. I've never seen anything like it before. QBR that game, 0 to 100. He's 97. He's 25 of 33 for 305 with 4 touchdowns and no picks. It was perfection. Mm-hmm. Sends Tom into the sunset. But he does not do well with expectations created by America's team, and that is the hottest seat in all of pro football is to be the quarterback, as you well know, for that team, especially when all of a sudden expectations go through the roof at Jerry World, and now you're going out to San Francisco to play, obviously, a very good defense.
I was going to let you finish.
Okay.
And I was going to get there.
Yeah, okay. But I'm going to get back to that game because it was, the defense holds Brock Purdy and company and Kyle Shanahan to 19. You should have a shot, man. 19, give me a 20 to 19. Give me a 21 to 19, right?
That's it.
But let's look at those interceptions. Look, he throws 2 in the first half that puts him in a hole that they can't quite dig out of because he keeps missing throws in the second half. The score ends up 19 to 12. But let's look at the interceptions again. First one. And you're defending him. I don't think there's anybody in his face. I think that just was a bad idea, and it looked like an off-target throw to me. It's wide left. It looks like Lenore was the target as opposed to Gallup.
Can't step into it, Skip.
Okay, but you got to be better than that on the road against those guys because they feast on those balls. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's look at the second interception.
He's got to stay, though. CeeDee Lamb cannot trace. Okay. Stop right there. Right. Don't trace back out.
But he's whipping away from Fred, though.
You can't. You slide. You don't whip. And when you do that, it tricks the quarterback.
That's fair. Okay. But if he stays, it's going to be a PBU either
it's
way.
It's not.
Fred's breaking that up. He's not picking it. He's not picking it, but he's breaking it up.
He's supposed to stick and stay. He cannot slide all the way out there. Okay. When they're vicing you in a zone defense.
Yep.
You are now supposed to find the cavity. Guys here, guys there. Stop right here. Don't keep going. When you do that, it tricks the quarterback.
Sir?
I'm just telling you.
I thought Fred Warner tricked the quarterback because he just set him up and picked his pocket.
Just slide, okay? CeeDee.
All right, now let's move to the third quarter. It's 3rd and 5 at the San Francisco 40. This is 6:09 of the third. The game is tied at 9-all.
Yep.
CeeDee, for a moment, broke open deep. And I thought, you got to make this throw. If you make this play, we might be having a different conversation here if we could see this one. Okay, so Dak goes back. He's got a blitzer coming. And he has him, and he just misses him. Is it the blitzer that bothers him? Did he not step into it? I thought he had him for a moment. He was a little late.
Better throw.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Better throw will help him.
Okay.
But here's what I would tell you. Better route by the receiver. You say, well, what do you mean? What do you mean? When I have a linebacker chasing you, all I got to do is do that. If I do this, he's going to go there. And now I can bend to give a bigger window to, but this is too much X and O.
Right.
I don't want to dive into that.
It's
like I'm coaching now.
All right. So now it's 19 to 12, which became the final score. It's 2nd and 1 at their own 18 with 2:56 left. And all of a sudden, Michael Gallup, who's coming off ACL reconstruction and hadn't been able to run all year, something pushed his button and he's rocket launched and he gets deep. And let's see what happened. I thought this was a throw that could have tied the game to Michael Gallup. He's got him. He's got him. And it's wide right
throw.
And late.
It's a bad
it's
throw.
Just a bad throw.
A
he's
bad
got
throw.
A big step, if
that's
not a,
bad
a step and a half.
Leading. Yeah. He has to lead him. That's all.
You got to lead him. Listen. I'm watching. I fall off my chair. I'm rolling on the floor because it's 19 to 12. You got that's your shot. That's the essence and the epitome of Rain Dakota Prescott. That's mm-hmm. it.
My question is very simple. What has Dak shown either of you to let you believe that he would be the reason the Cowboys won a Super Bowl? Like, I literally, and I'm sure we all have sat here and watched every single one of Dak's games meticulously and maybe multiple times. Dak has shown me that, like, you saw four touchdowns versus the Bucs, bad defense looked great. Versus the Niners, good defense, didn't look all that great. But, Key, you're making a bunch of excuses for Dak, which I do understand.
It's not excuses. It's explanations of why those things occurred.
Excuses and explanations are the fine line between the two.
No.
But to me, you got to be greater than your greatest excuse. Okay, CeeDee Lamb, you messed up. Let me go atone for it on the next drive. Because Tony Pollard did get hurt. Like, Tony got hurt. Michael Gallup's not great.
It changes the game.
To me, it's like Dak has to be better than his best excuse. He's a really good quarterback.
Yeah.
Really good quarterback.
I'll buy that.
But I don't know
But how many quarterbacks, when things start to fall apart, how many QBs step up and take control of a bad situation? How many?
I would say the winners do. Like last year, you would say, we all know this, and I know, Skip, you may not agree, Jalen Hurts did last year.
No, he did.
Last year, Jalen Hurts.
What was his bad situation?
Indianapolis Colts. You're about to lose to the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
A.J. Brown just fumbles. You're down, I believe it may have been 13-10. He's like, you know what? Put the team on my back, march down the field.
But I'm not arguing the regular season.
Okay.
I'm talking about the postseason.
Understood.
Dak Prescott got regular season moments. We can pull him up on the archives 1,000 times. We're talking about the postseason.
Okay.
His regular season numbers, wins totals have been, you know, no.
Okay. Okay.
They're in the playoffs. They win in the regular season.
Last year, wildly inconsistent. Two interception games.
I understand. He threw three pick sixes throughout the year.
Like at Green Bay against our nemesis, our Dracula, Aaron Rodgers, who just sucks our blood every time we see him. We're up 28-14 through three quarters. I know it's the frozen tundra, but it's a nice warm
day.
Okay.
So now I'm gonna slow you down right now, Skip.
Yep.
Here's why Kellen Moore is in Los Angeles coaching the Chargers, because I need you to help me help the defense and not get caught up in trying to score points and throwing the football and doing things you should be doing as an offensive coordinator. This is why Mike McCarthy made the decision.
No, that's a lie. Mike McCarthy made the decision because he needed a scapegoat.
No, that's not true.
Kellen Moore had the number one offense in football.
That doesn't mean anything.
Years. I feel you. It's a team game. If I got a
Super Bowl caliber defense and I'm out there and it's 28-14, you said?
Yep.
And I got my damn quarterback throwing the ball all over the lot. You're going to get me fired.
You're down by two scores. If it's a 28-14 game, what you want them to do? Hand the ball off to Zeke?
You got to be able to manage the game a certain way to get back into it, even when you're winning. And all of a sudden, you're throwing the ball all over the lot. Or you're running it when you're supposed to be throwing it. You're throwing when you're supposed to be running.
But
that's what Kellen Moore was doing.
If you have $160 million quarterback.
That was it.
And you have a running back that is over the hill in Ezekiel Elliott. And you have a first-round pick wide receiver. What are you supposed to do? Turn around and hand it off?
No. You're supposed to go with the flow of the game. You can't get caught up in numbers. We're paying this guy $160 million, so we got to throw the football.
You don't have to throw the football.
Do that.
But I always say like this. When I watch Aaron Rodgers play, so often I'm like, that was a long handoff. It's so accurate that the pass was a long handoff. Yeah, so even throwing the football for Dak Prescott, if you're throwing a 5-yard out, if you're throwing a now screen, if you're throwing a basic, those should be as consistent as a handoff.
Well, I would say when he does do those sort of things, it's consistent, but they're not calling it. It's all about calling the game. That's all it is. And this is why Mike McCarthy said, yeah, we are putting up points and we're the number one this and number that. But you're putting our defense out on the field when we go three and outs. We go five and outs. You're putting our defense back out on the field. We're not even allowing Micah Parsons to get the rest that he needs to go get the quarterback.
Is Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb, are they not better than Ezekiel Elliott and or Tony Pollard? In my mind, I trust Dak. You should. We all sitting here should trust Dak more than we trust anybody else on that Cowboys offense. He's been there longer than CD. He's been there longer than Pollard. He's been there just as long at the time as Zeke. So if you're telling me, who am I going to live or die by? Ride with the horse that brung you. That's what they told me.
To your point, Tony Pollard was special last year and did not get the acclaim he deserved, because even in that game at Green Bay, they did have the ball four times in the fourth quarter, got 0 points. So they go to overtime. They win the toss in overtime. Usually that means gold, right? Yeah. Tony Pollard runs it three straight times, and Green Bay, it appears, cannot stop him. They get into Green Bay territory, and it becomes third and three, and he throws it to CD and misses him. And then fourth and three, he tries to hit Pollard on a little swing pass and misses
him. So here's what I'm going to say. You just said it. I know we got to get up out of here in a second. Third and three, you missed CD Lamb.
He did.
Pollard just got you there. He's gashing him.
You could just
turn around and hand him the ball. You don't have to throw in that situation. Dak's not calling that play. That's all I'm telling you.
Which means?
That's all I'm telling you.
Is he really the guy?
Correct.
Is he? Yeah,
but if you have to take you're not taking the ball at his hands.
Yeah, but you're telling
it's
us to.
It's the flow of the game. That's how it's the flow of the game.
I hear you, but I would say the game should flow through the quarterback regardless of the flow of the game. Flow through the quarterback.
I love you to death, man. But if I'm running and I'm gashing you, you bet not throw the football. Mm. And I'm a receiver.
Yeah. All right, biggest picture on Dak Prescott. He did lead the league with 15 interceptions and didn't play five games last year. And in the postseason, he's 2-4.
Yeah.
It's just not.
He's got to do better.
Enough. Yeah. Up next, we're going to talk about another quarterback who might be way better than Dak Prescott when he gets to the NFL. It's Caleb Williams. Just how good will he be? Keyshawn should have a say in that, Mr. Trojan.
Fight on. Da-da-da-da.
Everyone knows that when you want every score, the best highlights, and the biggest stories from the sports world, you go to foxsports.com. But did you know all of your favorites from Fox Sports can come to you? Announcing your Fox Sports Daily, Fox Sports' all-new, customized daily newsletter delivering the top sports news and videos you care about every day. All you need to do is sign up on foxsports.com or on the Fox Sports app. And then just follow your favorite teams, athletes, and leagues to get only the news you want. The more favorites you add, the more personalized your Fox Sports Daily will be. So sign up today on foxsports.com or on the Fox Sports app and stay updated on the sports stories that matter to you.
Now it's your turn. Every day, a couple times a show, we want you to join in by sending your tweets, pro or con. We're fine with a little sarcasm. As long as it's funny, you got to keep it light, inbounds, and who knows, we might make you a star. You can hit us up right now at hashtag Undisputed Live. First tweet is from Biz with a meme saying, me still jamming to the new Undisputed theme song by you-know-who, Lil Wayne, Lil Tunichi.
That's same to me. It plays in my... I'm driving home.
Good
morning.
You're right. Next up, we got Emmanuel Acho is the undisputed best-dressed champion. Well, he is today.
It's easy to do it once. You're not feeling the blue, King? Yeah.
No,
you're not feeling the blue?
You know, it's cool. I'm just, you know, it's good.
You're not feeling the glasses, King?
I don't wear glasses, though. Mm. I don't accessorize myself quite like you.
Yeah. I think Autumn likes you best today.
Well,
right?
I'll take it. Shout out Autumn in wardrobe. Trace.
Next up, everyone talking about Dak's interceptions. How many of those bounced off wide receiver hands? Are those really his fault? Perfect example, end of Jags game last year.
Why are you pointing to me?
Ask the man. Ask the
Why
man
are you pointing to me,
above.
Though? I'm just
ask
telling
the man
you.
In a box above.
All I'm saying is, man. You
okay,
got
it. That was Noah Brown, and it hit him right in the hands and popped up in the air,
you,
and the game was over.
I just want you in your future to, when you look at these quarterbacks, you got a discount. Mm. That's all.
Okay. This isn't a sale. Okay, this ain't Black Friday.
Let's talk about the college quarterback. Mel Kiper released his first big board, and no surprise, he has USC's Caleb Williams as his runaway number one overall. Caleb already looks like he'll run away with another Heisman Trophy, which will make him the first back-to-back winner since Archie Griffin in 1974 and 75. Keyshawn, you played for USC, but I need just a little objectivity here, please. What is Caleb's NFL ceiling?
Well, like all quarterbacks, and for the most part, all players in professional sports, right? Especially quarterbacks, young ones. Right situation, right circumstances. If you go to the wrong situation, the wrong circumstances,
I'll buy that.
You're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, see right? Baker Mayfield, but go ahead.
You can see Baker Mayfield. Mm-hmm. You can go David Carr.
Yep.
You can go a lot of different
you
people
can. I agree.
In terms of this. So yep. It all has to be, I don't want to say perfect, but to a point where you have the right offensive coordinator with the right mindset,
yeah.
The right head coach who understands how to utilize
you. See Brock Purdy last year. I mean,
I think in terms of that, they'll understand what to do with him,
yeah.
And he can potentially become something, okay? But based on just college film and tape, we don't know if he's a consensus number one overall pick just yet because there's some poor kid that's sitting in, as we do every single year, that's sitting at, like, Missouri State in Pittsburgh somewhere.
Maybe.
6'7", 300 pounds, you know, arms to the ground, run 4.3. All of a sudden, he comes out of nowhere, and they say, well, we want to take him. I'm just saying. So we got to be.
There's the Drake May kid.
There's a whole litany of things that has to happen.
Yep.
As we both, all three of us know, the real process in evaluating Caleb and other college athletes start in December when the regular season is over.
Yep.
And let me take you behind the curtain. Scouts compile the information.
Mm-hmm.
The decision makers, the head coach, general manager, presidents of teams, they don't really start diving into it until the season is over. Because guess what they worried about? They worried about the Cincinnati Bengals, the Buffalo Bills. They don't have time. They may see a game sitting in a hotel room.
Yep.
But they don't have time to see a guy, talk to him, understand where his mindset is at. Can he get on the board and do certain things?
Yeah.
That doesn't start till the Senior Bowl.
Sure.
The Combine.
Okay.
Now we start to unwrap all of those sort of things and really break it all the way down.
You have met Caleb. Talked to him. When you looked into his eyes, what did you see?
I see a leader as a quarterback. There's no question. There's no question about it. He is a leader. Full disclosure, I have the Tommy Group, which is a NIL company who handles certain things for the university, our football program.
Cool.
And so I deal with Caleb a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're having a conversation with him, it's like, oh, yeah, he's a leader. I mean, the dude will not do an NIL deal if he does not involve many of his teammates.
Sure.
It's not selfish.
Okay. Yeah.
That, to me, speaks volumes.
Yeah.
Just looking at the tape, I don't know Caleb personally. I've met him twice. Just looking at the tape, he's the best college quarterback I've ever seen.
Whew.
And I came
out. That is
out,
a mouthful.
And I came out of college with Andrew Luck. Just looking at the tape, he's the best college quarterback I've ever seen. I'll ask y'all to do something for me.
Okay, this is your lifetime? Or
yeah, in my lifetime. Now, I'm not going to.
There was this guy named Elway who played at Stanford.
He didn't say his lifetime. Okay. But Testaverde was pretty good.
Here is why I say that. We have to update what a great quarterback is now.
Yeah, I get it.
The great quarterback now is the prototype, the archetype is Patrick Mahomes.
Mm.
The archetype is no longer Peyton Manning. The archetype is no longer Dan. The archetype is Pat Mahomes.
Because
Pat
goat.
Mahomes is, well, the current archetype.
Yeah. Okay.
Tom Brady, I don't believe, is the current archetype of quarterback. It's no longer 6'5", 225. It's now about 6'2.5". Can you run 4.7? Can you throw off time, et cetera? I'll show you all two plays, Skip, the team that you rock with. Two plays.
Yep.
I went to Texas. I'm watching Texas versus Oklahoma. Caleb Williams is a true freshman during these plays that you are about to see. The Sooners are down 28-7 at this moment, the start of the second quarter.
Yep.
Caleb Williams scrambles for 66 yards.
By the way, he didn't start the game.
He did not start the game. Yeah. He replaced Spencer Rattler, who was a Heisman favorite going into the season.
He was.
So that's one running play. Mm-hmm. Now I want to show you, after this running play, there is a pass play. He throws it off his back foot to Marvin Mims, 56 yards in the air, front pylon for a touchdown. I will ask one simple question.
Mm.
How many current NFL quarterbacks can do that? Patrick Mahomes could make the throw. I don't believe he could make the run. I believe Justin Fields could make the run. I don't believe he could make the throw. So when I talk about how good Caleb Williams is, Skip, you know this. You were watching this game.
Was
14
I?
Million people watching.
Yep.
I was obviously watching. It's my alma mater. True freshman, Key, goes into the game down by 21 points.
Yeah.
Hostile environment, one of the biggest rivalries in the history of the sport. And you go and you run for 66. You throw 56 off your back foot. How many NFL quarterbacks right now playing could do that? How many NFL quarterbacks in the history of football could do those two plays? And he did it as a true freshman.
Yep.
If Patrick Mahomes is the standard, and I do believe Patrick Mahomes is the standard, then Caleb Williams is to the NCAA what Patrick Mahomes is to the NFL.
But like I said earlier, Right situation, right circumstances.
1,000%.
Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy.
1,000%. 1,000%.
So you got to
and Lincoln Riley. You feel me?
And now exactly Lincoln Riley. So you got to go to the right spot.
You're exactly right.
By the way, Marvin Mims is a young stud. Watch what he does for Denver. I know they've been decimated at wideout. Just watch what he does. He can fly, and he always gets behind people, and he did make that catch.
But, yeah, but I don't care about the Oklahoma-Texas game.
You don't. I'm going to show you one more Oklahoma play, much to your chagrin, because this is the one that got me. This is at Kansas. They're okay, but not real good, and we're getting in trouble. And it's getting a little dicey.
Takes the ball
from it. And all of a sudden, this happened.
I know where you're at.
I was actually running on the treadmill at this point, and I fell off.
I know where you're at.
He goes and takes the ball away from Kennedy Brooks on 4th and 3 and says, no, you're not going to get it. I'm going to go get the – I want the football, and I'm going to get the first down. And I said, that you can't teach.
It's amazing.
You can't coach it.
He's amazing.
That is special.
The dude is amazing.
Matt Leinart pushed Reggie Bush over the pylon to score the touchdown against Notre Dame. I've seen stuff like that before.
Okay. All right. But it's, hey.
I swear.
You weren't talking about poise and presence. It's like, you're seeing it before it happens.
He certainly has the poise. If you watched the San Jose State game the other night.
Okay. Well, let's see that one play that he made because he.
Oh, you got it.
He bobbles the snap.
Yeah, okay.
Bobbles the snap. I got this.
That's poise.
I'm almost going to throw it off my back foot.
Boom.
Yeah, that's poise right there.
And he throws it 70 yards. This is a 76-yard touchdown.
Come on.
He definitely has a hole. There's no question about it.
All right. Now,
but
to prototype, this kid is the polar opposite of Tom Brady.
Yep.
The polar. He's as far from Brady as you can get because almost all of his splash plays all come on improv where he's breaking the pocket. He is not as tall as he looks on television.
He's a six-footer.
He's 6 feet tall.
Yeah, six-footer.
They list him at 6'1" in the media guide at USC. Foot. He's 6 feet tall. You've seen him. You've looked down on him, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
His legs are stout. He's got tree trunk thighs, okay? He's got a base to him, but he has what Emmitt Smith had, which is what I call quickness in a confined space. He's got this make you miss, and he can get loose because he's got a power base to him. And if you just get one hand on him, you're not going to throw him down.
I just hope that he goes to the right place in the right situation.
Okay,
I was drafted as a number one overall pick. You know who my coach was?
Richie Kotite.
Yeah, I know.
That's a problem.
I would be working at somewhere. I'm messing around. But, hey, look.
Don't do that.
I died and went to heaven and got Bill Parcells. And my career completely changed.
Yeah.
I caught 70-something balls as a rookie. But it wasn't, I had Richie Kotite as a coach. So I get Parcells, the rest is history.
He will.
You got to get the right spot.
He
man.
Will be, Skip, to Cove full circle and answer the question, he will be great. The question is, what level of greatness? I think about Deshaun Watson versus Patrick Mahomes. Deshaun goes to the Houston Texans and Bill O'Brien, and he elevated the Houston Texans to a perennial 10-win team. Patrick Mahomes, to Key's point, goes to Andy Reid. Andy Reid, in my mind, the second greatest or greatest offensive mind of the generation since the turn of the decade, and now Patrick Mahomes will go down as the greatest or the second greatest quarterback
ever. Here's my one issue with Caleb. Does this style of play translate ultimately in the National Football League, even though the game has changed dramatically?
Yes.
In the end, you do have to stand in that pocket and make some throws.
Yes.
You just do.
So when do you want him to win the Super Bowl? You want him to win the Super Bowl as a rookie?
No.
Not going to happen, Skip.
I'm just saying, I'm trying to translate. I'm trying to project.
I'm going to get you there.
Yeah.
Same style as Patrick Mahomes. Same style.
Similar.
Same
very,
style.
Let's very just, similar.
It one might be a 10, the other might be a 7. Same style.
Yeah.
Same style as Deshaun Watson. Same style.
I don't know. Deshaun can stand still and pick you up.
I understand. Yeah. I understand. True. And at times, he can stand still and do the same thing. You got to watch his. You got to watch his games.
I do.
So where I'm going with this is, Jalen Hurts, same questions about him. He came from the air raid at Oklahoma, went in the second round. Should have been a first round pick for whatever reason. Did the same thing as Kyler Murray, same thing as Baker Mayfield at Oklahoma, but he goes in the second round. Yep. Why that is, I have no idea. Second year as a full-time starter, he had the right head coach who put him in the right situation, put the team around him, went out and got A.J. Brown, went out and got Devontae Smith, said, okay, we're getting ready to build something around this kid. The one thing that quarterbacks, young quarterbacks have to have is alpha dogs on the perimeter. Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, they traded for him. Mm-hmm. A.J. Brown of Philly, I mentioned that. So all of those sort of things.
But listen, you want to talk about special? Jalen Hurts is rare.
But he can do the same things.
Jalen Hurts came out here after his first year to Tom House, my friend who works at USC.
Baseball.
Mr. Baseball, but football throwing guru. Brady came out to him. Breeze came out to him. All the best ones have come out. And Jalen Hurts rebuilt his throwing motion from Lincoln Riley in Oklahoma to what you saw last year. He became a deadly accurate thrower of the football with an above average arm. It's not a cannon, but it's good enough.
It's good enough.
And listen, he outplayed Patrick Mahomes in that Super Bowl game. You just go look at the numbers.
MVP, even though they lost.
Except for one little glitch where he just, I don't know what happened. He just lost concentration for one moment. He lost the handle, and it gets run all the way back, and that's the difference in the football game. It's hard to come back from that against the Chiefs.
And the thing is what I was saying is, over time, that will translate to the National Football League.
Yeah.
The offense that he's in right now, no, that's not going to work.
But
his skill set can translate to the National Football
League. I look at it like this, though. Give me the guy who I know can make threes. I'll teach him to make layups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The guy who can make layups, I don't know if he'll ever be able to make threes. Okay. Caleb Williams can make threes. He can make half-court jumpers. He can shoot from the logo, figuratively speaking. So, Skip, throwing in the pocket, yeah, he can do that.
Okay.
But the fact is, how many quarterbacks can make the play he made against San Jose State in the NFL?
No, they're going to panic.
Bingo.
They're going to panic.
That's the word right there. Ball's
panic.
On the ground. They would panic, and he throws it off his back foot. And, again, I was at that game because, thankfully, the USC AD invited me there. That was the difference
why
in the.
What is going on here?
He politicking.
That was the difference in the game. Like, you remember, I'm sure you was watching that thing up close. I was like, wait a second. San Jose State? It's only 14-7?
Yeah, that's our defense.
Like,
hey,
but that was the difference in the
seriously.
Game.
Seriously.
That's our defense.
Well, wherever Lincoln has been, I'm not a big Lincoln guy because he left me high and dry.
Yeah,
He snuck out under the darkness of night. That's what he did.
Place.
He did not go to a better place. We have a deeper tradition than you have. We've won more games than you have. We have the longest winning streak in the history of college football. Everybody wants to be a Sooner. They want to have. They want to wear that.
I didn't even mean to go down this rabbit hole with you.
Yeah.
But where do you live?
Huh?
Where do you live?
Where do I live?
Yeah.
Well, you know where I live.
Where do you live?
Right down the street from we're sitting.
No. What city?
I live in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And I
do
say,
you live? Do you live in Norman, Oklahoma?
No, I don't.
Do you?
I go back once a year.
Can you go to the Pacific Ocean anytime you want to? Lincoln Riley is overlooking the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to overlook farms. He wants to overlook the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah.
So the smarter move. In the middle of the night.
Yeah, it was in the middle
of
the
night.
Yeah,
it was.
Same thing with Lane Kiffin left Tennessee.
And he says, oh, it just happened last night, says Lincoln Riley, Riley.
As I tell people, there's only about five programs, college football programs, I tell them all the time, in the entire country that you wouldn't leave to go to another college. USC, Texas.
There it is.
Michigan, Ohio State. And
Florida?
Maybe Alabama.
Yeah, it used to be Notre Dame, but not.
Maybe other than that, you will leave everywhere else to come to USC.
You said Texas.
Texas. You ain't going. No, for real.
Man,
why would I leave Texas to go coach somewhere else? I got it. Texas is like a pro team.
All right, my final quick point on Caleb: if you're going to run around that way in the National Football League, you're going to get beat up.
No question.
And he has pulled some things occasionally at his hamstring last year. You're going to have to shut some of that down at the next level.
But that's all about the coaching.
Yeah.
Right situation, circumstances.
Harper hits one in the air. Looks back. It goes. Harper, the swing of his life.
MLB playoffs are near, and you know what that means, Alex?
Yep. Flippin' Bats will be staying up late and having all the fun.
From breaking down the most important stories and games, nobody's done what he's doing. Nobody. Not even Babe Ruth.
To interviewing baseball's biggest stars.
I felt like I was pitching more stress. I was trying to be so perfect.
No one covers America's pastime like us.
So as we sprint towards this year's World Series on Fox, please make sure to listen, follow, and subscribe to Flippin' Bats with Ben Verlander and me, Alex Curry.
Baseball is fun, and so are we. We're going to have fun, dang it. We'll talk to you soon.